live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, 923 new cases of COVID-19 have been recorded in Northern Ireland in the past 24 hours. One additional death reported. We'll hear from Minister Heather Humphreys about the concern in border areas. A Donegal deputy says the winter plan of the HSE is doomed to fail unless issues surrounding capacity in ICU beds are addressed. The Taoiseach insists he has confidence in the Health Minister as Stephen Donnelly faces questions in the Dáil tonight, and the Donegal deputy says he's received hundreds of emails from people across the county involved in the arts and music industry who are pleading for assistance. Later we'll have the sports news with Oisín Kelly. That's coming up at around 5:15. And after that, because it's Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. But we begin with confirmation this afternoon that 923 new cases of COVID-19 have been recorded in Northern Ireland in the past 24 hours. One additional death also reported. It brings to 17,110 the total number of cases in Northern Ireland since the pandemic began, while the death toll there now stands at 587. Minister Heather Humphreys says the situation across the border is concerning for those living in border counties.
There is a lot of coordination between the chief medical officers, and I know that the ministers for health are continually in conversation with each other. It is very concerning, and we are worried about it because it has, you know, the numbers have escalated. But we have to remember that this is within our gift, that we can change this. We follow the rules.
A Donegal deputy says the HSE's winter plan is doomed to fail unless issues surrounding capacity in ICU beds are addressed. The steady rise in the number of people with COVID-19 being treated in hospital continues, with 12 now at Letterkenny University Hospital, one of them in critical care. In the Dáil this afternoon, Donegal deputy Piers Doherty told the Taoiseach that government policy and direction is flawed and needs to change.
You're depending on surge capacity, and surge capacity means closing down other elective care, which means delayed diagnosis, which means lack of treatment for other crucial treatments. So can I ask you, where is the plan from government? What are you going to do in relation to addressing the real issue of capacity that not just we in Sinn Féin are saying, but talk to people in the front line, talk to the IMO, talk to the managers of our hospitals. They are all singing from the same tune. We are seriously stressed in terms of capacity here in this state.
Well, responding, Taoiseach Leo Radcliffe said he believes there is capacity there and extra capacity can be secured from private hospitals if necessary, as happened before. He accused Deputy Doherty of playing the blame game.
I know what you're trying to do here, which is to play the blame game. And so you can set it up so that if the country has to go back into severe lockdown, you can blame the government and say it's all down to hospital capacity. Well, I would say to you, look at other countries. Look at other countries. Look at two countries, good ones to use as an example, the Netherlands and Spain. Both the Netherlands and Spain have a much higher incidence of the coronavirus than Ireland. They have fewer hospital beds per head than Ireland. Neither at this stage are considering going back into a lockdown, and that is the position.
The Taoiseach insists he has confidence in the Health Minister. Stephen Donnelly will face questions in the Dáil tonight about his handling of NPHET's Level 5 recommendation. It's after it emerged. The Minister was briefed by the Chief Medical Officer about his views ahead of NPHET's meeting on Sunday. Dr. Tony Houlihan says he made clear how concerned health officials were about the spread of the virus, but the Minister says Level 5 wasn't mentioned. Taoiseach Micheál Martin has defended his Minister.
I do, of course, have confidence in the Health Minister. In terms of the situation on Sunday evening, I don't know who leaked that, but clearly it is, you know, a large body, and I certainly can't say one way or the other who leaked it, but I'm certainly sure that Stephen Donnelly didn't leak it.
A Donegal deputy says he's received hundreds of emails from people across the county involved in the arts and music industries pleading for assistance. The sector is thought to be one of the hardest hit during the COVID crisis, with many saying they're facing decline in their mental health. Many have had to sell equipment or are in arrears with utility bills. Deputy Thomas Pringle says specific schemes need to be put in place for the sector as a matter of urgency.
You never consider if these many, many lauded schemes actually address the concerns or problems being highlighted by the people they're meant to serve. It looks to me that once they have created a press release, they have decided their aim and the point of view from the government. My message to you, Minister, is simple. At a minimum, start by speaking to your colleague in social protection and ensure that the COVID payments are restored to the previous levels. As we see from the NPHET advice, that we are nowhere near the end of this COVID crisis. It was a mean-spirited, naive and premature to cut the payments. If you achieve that, you will have done some good. Then look at schemes that will allow artists to produce content and put money in their pockets without reams of red tape, because that is a killer as well. Disperse this at a national, regional and local level, but ensure the levels of funding available are tangible, and the innovation of the arts sector may just surprise us all then.
485 students have been offered new college courses after having their Leaving Cert results upgraded following an error with the calculated grade system. Round 4 offers are out today from the CAO with over 922 college places on offer. Students can accept the new offer and start immediately, or they can continue in their current course. The CAO says everyone who was upgraded did get a course. There'll be no countries on the green list for safe travel from Monday. The Department of Foreign Affairs says Ireland continues to work with EU partners to finalise negotiations on coordinating travel within the Union under a traffic light system. There are currently just 4 countries, Cyprus, Finland, Latvia and Liechtenstein, that people can travel to without having to restrict their movements when they return. That green list will expire on Sunday night. The European Council President says we've reached a moment of truth in the Brexit negotiations. Charles Michel met with Taoiseach Micheál Martin in Dublin this afternoon ahead of a summit of EU leaders next week. Mr. Michel says the EU stands in full solidarity with Ireland as negotiations on a future trade deal continues, and he stressed nothing is agreed until everything is agreed.
To get to an agreement, we need significant steps to be made by our British friends in the coming days, not only on fisheries but also on the level playing field and governance. On other issues such as road transport, energy or trade in goods, progress has been made, but it's not enough. The coming days are crucial. This is the moment of truth.
A new UK ambassador to Ireland has been appointed. Paul Johnson presented his credentials to President Michael D. Higgins today. He says it's time for Britain and Ireland to write a new chapter in the history of our uniquely close relationship. Mr. Johnson has previously served in Paris and New York and had been UK ambassador to Sweden. Almost €60,000 has been approved for 3 national monuments in Donegal. Minister Charlie McConnellogh says the funding will help maintain and protect our rich history in Donegal and provide work for skilled tradespeople involved in the upkeep of such monuments. The bulk of the Donegal allocation will go to Rathmullen Abbey, with Kilidonald Friary and St Mura's Cross slab in Fawn also included. Full details and figures on our website, highlandradio.com. The station officer at Letterkenny Fire Station is warning that fatal fires usually start at night time. National Fire Safety Week is underway, with a major focus this year on smoke alarms. With people spending more time in their homes in the current climate, the fire service in Donegal says it's never been as important as it is now to focus on fire safety. Station officer Martin Bond says the majority of house fires they attend in Donegal are usually caused by something that could have been easily prevented.
We're out working on the ground at these house fires. We see it time and time again. Simple things like working smoke alarms, as you said, placed in the right places in the house. They make such a difference, you know. Most items we have in the house, most electric items, can unfortunately be the source of a fire. Most fires, we say, start probably in the kitchen areas. But the serious fires, the fatal fires, tend to start at night time. And other maybe bedrooms or sitting rooms, but any electrical item can be the source of the fire. But you know, preventing them fires is important. Detecting them is equally as important, and then how we react to them, that's what we're trying to look at. So as you say, this year again we're looking at detecting. People need to be aware that the fire has occurred, and with the sensitivity of the alarms, they're well able to pick up the fire at an early stage and give us ample time to escape safely from the house. When it comes to the smoke alarms, of which we're focusing on, we really would prefer if each floor in the house would definitely have a smoke alarm on it. And that's probably your landing, your hallway. Now, if possible, each habitable room really should have one as well. So your bedrooms and your sitting in some room that you're going to spend time in. But even at a minimum, make sure there's one on each floor.
And that was Station Officer Martin Bond. The General Secretary of the Irish Postmasters Union says at this stage they simply don't know where post office closures may take place next year. There are renewed fears locally over potential post office closures in Donegal following news last week that Unpost is facing losses of €17 million in 2021. A report by Grant Thornton indicated that a public service obligation of €17 million is needed to prevent unrestrained closures in the post office network by the end of next year. Donegal was one of the hardest hit counties with closures over the past decade, and concerns have been heightened further by the fact that this report was completed before the COVID-19 pandemic began. The General Secretary of the IPU, Ned O'Hara, says the closures could be anywhere.
Like, I can understand why COVID takes all the attention, because it deserves the attention. Having said that, what we're trying to draw attention to is the network and the people that it serves. Like, we serve 1.3 million people. They value it, and we do put 4.6 billion in cash into local economies. And over the COVID period, when payments were reduced to every second week, provincial towns in Ireland, and I'm not talking about small towns, were suffering the economic effects of that. So it's all linked, if you like. And like, COVID is a huge threat to the country, but I suppose we have to give that due recognition. But we still keep concentrating and bringing people's attention to the difficulties that we're in relation to the post office.
And do you feel that Donegal is one of those more vulnerable counties in terms of this report?
No, not necessarily. I think it's down to the individual. I don't know, Catherine. I suspect when we were doing the review, it was chaired by a senior counsel, Turlough O'Donnell, and he asked me that question straight up one day, and I did my best to answer it. And what he interpreted my answer to be was unrestrained closures, because I don't know whether Donegal is more at risk than the centre of Dublin, for instance. I do know at least four or five postmasters in Dublin who are seriously considering their position. And if the big post offices are seriously considering their position, I think it threatens the whole network, because the model then is broken. So to answer your question, I'm not being sound like a politician. I don't know the answer. It can be anywhere. And that's why we're using the phrase unrestrained closures. It could be Dublin, Donegal, could be Kerry, it could be Limerick, it could be Cork.
And that was Ned O'Hara of the IPU. Detectives are investigating reports of a creeper-style burglary in Derry. It happened at a house in the Lorries Lane area yesterday. With more, here's Catherine Gaffney.
It's believed that the house was entered at around 7 o'clock yesterday morning with a sum of cash and the keys to a blue BMW car taken. The car was driven from the property and later found burnt out at Glasher Road. In a statement, Detective Sergeant Richard Donnell appealed to anyone who may have noticed any suspicious activity at Lowry's Lane yesterday morning, or who saw a blue BMW car being driven between Lowry's Lane and Glasher Road, to get in touch. Police can be contacted at Strand Road on 101.
Partners may now be allowed into maternity scans, but only on compassionate grounds. The health service has reviewed its existing policy and circulated it to all acute hospitals. Many expectant mothers say they felt very alone having to attend appointments or go through labour by themselves because of restrictions. Under the new guidelines, partners can attend appointments in certain circumstances, such as when a pregnancy is found to be unviable.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Just gone 5:15, we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with international football. Jack Byrne could become the first League of Ireland player in 35 years to earn a competitive Republic of Ireland cap. The Shamrock Rovers midfielder is included in the matchday 23 for tonight's Euro 2020 playoff away to Slovakia. Victory tonight would leave Ireland 90 minutes from a place in the finals, and for manager Stephen Kenny, it could provide something bigger.
Everyone's having a difficult time in this period, and I think sport can, you know, can achieve great things. You know, the football team is revered in Ireland, and if we were to have a good performance, it would certainly lift the mood, lift the spirits of people. So, plays an important part.
Well, the winner of tonight's game in Bratislava will face the winner of the semi-final in Sarajevo. Bosnia-Herzegovina take on Northern Ireland for the right to host either Ireland or Slovakia. Ian Barraclough's third game in charge couldn't be much bigger. With the team just 2 wins away from a major tournament, Barraclough says he's excited by the challenge.
These hurdles come every so often in your career, hopefully, and everything you've worked towards builds towards, hopefully, testing it against the best in a big competition. I'm no different. I've got ambitions. I've got ambitions for the nation, and hopefully it means back-to-back Euros.
Kick-off to both of those games tonight is 7:45. At the same time, Scotland are in action. Their manager, Steve Clark, says there'll be no need for rousing speeches in the dressing room ahead of the game with Israel. They meet in a Euro 2020 playoff semi-final at Hampden Park. It's been 22 years since Scotland last reached a major tournament, and Clark says it wouldn't do his side any good to put extra pressure on them.
I trust the attitude and the mentality of the players to get it right on these big occasions, so they... Rather than a rousing Braveheart speech, it will be calm, measured words to try and help them to get through the game in the best way possible and get the right result for the country.
In League of Ireland football, Neil Fenn says he's devastated by leaving Cork City. He's vacated the manager's job with the League Siders, bottom of the SSE Air Trusted League Premier Division, with 5 games to go. And they are 2 points behind Finn Harps. Colin Healy will take charge of City for Friday's meeting with Bohemians. It continues a turbulent time for the 2017 double winners, who could be sold for a euro to Preston's owners later this month. The Swiss FA have confirmed that Shaqiri's coronavirus diagnosis was a false positive. The Liverpool forward was placed in self-isolation on Tuesday, but he's now free to travel with the national squad to play Spain in the Nations Cup on Saturday. The GAA will hold a virtual meeting with county chairpersons this evening as speculation mounts around inter-county competitions. The meeting will focus on dealing with a cross-border all-island strategy. There are fears that the likes of the minor and under-20 championships will be scrapped and the remaining 2 rounds of the national leagues pulled. The senior championships could become the sole focus of the association in the coming weeks. Donegal and Tyrone are due to meet in the Ulster Minor Championship on Saturday, October 24th, while Tyrone are scheduled to play Dublin next Saturday the 17th in the All-Ireland semi-final. Donegal senior men are due to resume their Division 1 league campaign on Sunday week, the 18th of October, against Tyrone and Ballybuffet, with a trip to Kerry the following Saturday. The Ulster Championship starts for Donegal and Tyrone on Sunday the 1st of November, when the North West Counties clash again in Ballybuffet. Fermanagh senior football manager Ryan McMenamin wonders if there can be flexibility around fixtures. At the moment, the panel is not training because of coronavirus cases in the county. They are meant to play in the National League against Clare next weekend.
I want to showcase Fermanagh football what it is. Probably we're not going to get that opportunity, and with it being a small county like Fermanagh, we need the senior team to be a flagship, and I'm just aware probably if this was maybe... I don't know, maybe I'm thinking out wrong, maybe I'm going this way. If this was a Dublin or a Tyrone and they were in the same situation, would the Ulster Championship match be moved, or would it be accommodated for players? You don't know.
To rugby, Ireland head coach Andy Farrell has included 4 Ulster players in his squad for the final 2 Six Nations games against Italy and France later this month. Ian Henderson, Stuart McCluskey, Jacob Stockdale and Rob Herring have been selected, but John Cooney misses out in the 35. There are 6 uncapped players: Ryan Bird, Ed Byrne, Will Connors, Shane Daly, Hugo Keenan and Jameson Gibson-Park. They've all been called up for the very first time. There's no place for the injured tag Furlong. Ireland play Italy at the Aviva on the 24th of October before taking on France and Paris 7 days later. Well, former Ireland head coach Joe Smith will take up a senior position at World Rugby next month. He's been appointed as the new director of rugby and high performance. The job will involve overseeing player welfare, training and education. Smith will also be responsible for match officials and technical services. Finally, to golf, early on in his back nine, Shane Lowry was sitting at 3 under par in the opening round of the PGA Championship at Wentworth. Patrick Harrington opened with a level par 72. Graham McDowell, a 1 over round of 73. Terrell Hatton is the clubhouse leader on 6 under par. That's your sport for today. Back with more tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Washing. And now with the time at 21 minutes past 5 o'clock, it's time for Farming News and Views. We say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Next week, Chagas will begin a new weekly webinar entitled Farm Business Options. Barry Castellan is the Chagas Energy and Rural Development Specialist, and he joins me to tell us a little bit more about this webinar, which is free to all. You must register. An exciting development, Barry, because it's going to have several strains. It's going to be on from next Tuesday, so give us a little bit of the background.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for having me, and good evening. It's called Farm Business Options, and they're lively weekly interactive webinars, and they're running every Tuesday at 11 a.m. for 1 hour. And they're really a replacement, because at the moment, they're a replacement for the options program that we used to run every year in the back end of the year, normally from September up to the end of December. And obviously we can't have one-to-one meetings or group meetings now at the moment, so it's kind of a new way of doing business, really, and trying to get the message across that, you know, a lot of farmers are sitting on valuable assets in terms of land, in terms of buildings and their skills as well, that there may be other opportunities that people get involved in, and not maybe not themselves as the landowners or the farmers directly. It could be a son or a daughter or a family member who maybe could develop a business by utilising the land as well. So the whole idea is to have webinars on different topics on a weekly basis. So they could be on areas like renewable energy, on food, on services, on poultry, agritourism, which is a great opportunity, especially in the region around Donegal. And, you know, other alternatives, like even in the horticultural sector, you know, whether it's, you know, areas of floristry or potatoes or, you know, hardy nurseries, those kind of topics will be coming on to over the weeks.
And it's fair to say, you know, many people, it's a case often of planting the seed. There could be things out there that people could do on their own farms that they've maybe never even thought of. But by tuning into this webinar, they may hear of an idea or get an example of something being done elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. And diversification isn't for everybody. And there might be their initial thought that that's not for me. But maybe if they're exposed to the idea and they hear that this has been done already in Waterford, it's been done in other parts of the country, it's been done in Kerry, and why couldn't we do this in Donegal? And maybe our son or daughter or somebody else could maybe get some insights into what's going on in other parts of the country and maybe replicate that in areas like Donegal. And there's no reason why they couldn't, because there's loads of opportunities in agri-tourism in the areas of, you know, whether it's hostel holidays or adventure tourism or self-catering or B&B accommodation or angling on lakes or even in the sea. And, you know, the whole area of poultry, there's so much opportunity there, whether it's free-range egg production or, you know, looking at maybe the area of organic poultry as well. So, of course, there's different areas within energy as well. There's a lot of talk about at the moment about decarbonisation and the opportunity for renewable energy, maybe farmers selling electricity directly to the grid and getting an income for doing that. There's areas like, you know, alternative land uses like, you know, alpacas, llamas, goats, those type of areas as well that some people may have an interest in. And it could be, you know, farm shops or setting up a farmer's market or franchises. So there's a whole plethora of areas that could be explored, and I suppose it's really about honing on the area that you see your set of skills will be applicable to, where you have the assets in terms of the land, and it could be all down to location as well, that maybe in a certain area of the country, you know, that a certain enterprise, a certain service could be very, very well valued and could do quite well. And really, you know, we're seeing a lot of young people emigrating out of Ireland over the last number of years, and, you know, there is a great opportunity that, you know, that it doesn't always have to be the livestock farming option, that there could be other options maybe that the young person could engage in, and that could be another income stream that's coming into the family farm, as well as another pair of hands for labour on the family farm unit as well.
Sometimes it's all about just starting the conversation. It could be a case of a person maybe collaborating with a few neighbours and getting something off the ground, but at least if the idea is out there, people can think about developing it.
That's the initial part of it, is the concept of the idea and generating an idea. And that's always the difficult part, is how do I actually take that a stage further? And what we find with speaking to farmers is that, you know, there mightn't be that confidence in maybe developing a business plan. They mightn't know where to go in terms of developing a business plan. And it's really kind of making those connections. And that's what we're hoping to do through these farm business webinars, is to make those connections that you realise who's actually doing this in other parts of the country, what supports are there to take you a further stage of that journey. Because this would be stage one of your journey in terms of hearing or maybe being inspired to hear and to hear about other projects, and maybe that you could do that yourself. But how would I make that work for me is the question. And I suppose introducing farmers to the type of supports, whether that's leader supports, local development company supports, or the likes of your local enterprise office, your LEO. And they're the kind of introductions that we're hoping to make through these webinars.
Importantly, there will be a chance for people at the end of the webinars to ask questions.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be very interactive, and even at the end of it, Chris, even at the very, very start, if somebody has a particular question for, you know, whether it's the renewable energy topic, whether it's the topic on, you know, farm diversification in general, you know, we will have mentors and people who have experience in developing business plans, for example, around renewables, around farm diversifications, whether it's artisan food or whether it's, you know, agri-tourism, all those areas. You can put in those questions right at the start. You know, it could be somebody, for example, who has a dairy farm and they're wondering, how do I add value on that dairy farm, maybe create a job for my son or daughter? Could it be, you know, converting the milk into yogurt or cheese or ice cream and adding value there and creating a market brand in Donegal, for example? And it's really about, you know, creating that knowledge that this is how you go about doing it, this is how you'd develop that concept and move it forward.
So it starts next Tuesday, October the 13th, from 11 o'clock. So how does one register for it? What's the procedure?
Yeah, you can go onto the Chagas website or chagas.ie/farm-business-options. So that's really what you're trying to Google, is farm business options. And there you can register and you will get a link that comes back to you, an email link, and you really click on that on the day. You get a reminder as well on the day by email to join the Farm Business Options webinar. So it is very interactive. You can ask your questions during it, but those questions will be put to the panelists that are involved.
And you have a number of topics scheduled for the next few weeks, and all going well, this could continue on for quite a while.
Yeah, we're starting off, Chris, with the topic of renewable energy, the support scheme for renewable heat. We're moving on then to topics such as general farm diversification. We're looking at all the challenges that people have with the diversification. Like, I know one of the shows, for example, is on insurance around diversifications, and then in the current world this can be high insurance claims. It can be a challenge, it can be a risk to somebody setting up a business that if they have high insurance costs. So it's really to make you aware that if you are setting up a diversification, you may need to have certain types of insurance, and we will have one show particularly on that. We'll be looking at the whole area of solar energy and wind energy. A lot of farmers being approached at the moment of that as a business option, you know, and they're being asked to put solar PV panels on acres of their land, and they're getting annual rent for doing that. So we'll have a solicitor and an accountant about what to do before you sign those option agreements or lease agreements with solar development companies or wind energy companies. So yeah, I think it'll be informative. It'll give people ideas, and if we can do that, I think it'll be quite a successful webinar.
And that was Barry Caslan, Chagas Energy and Rural Development Specialist. In other news, the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellou, today launched his department's annual review and outlook for agriculture, food and the marine 2020. Last year, Ireland's food, drink and agri-foods products were exported to over 180 markets worldwide and valued at €14.5 billion. The annual review and outlook provides up-to-date information and an analysis from a variety of sources, giving a detailed overview of Ireland's agri-food sector and its outlook for the future. The review can be found on the department's website. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Well, the forecast, it'll become blustery tonight with heavy showery rain moving in with strong winds on coasts. The rain will become light and patchy as it moves eastwards, followed by frequent showers. Chilly tonight with lows to temperatures of 5 to 7 degrees Celsius. Frequent showers tomorrow with heavy downpours possible. A risk of hail and thunder. Feeling cool with limited sunny spells and highest temperatures 9 to 11 degrees Celsius in a fresh and gusty northwest breeze. Main stories in brief this evening. And 923 new cases of COVID-19 have been recorded north of the border in the past 24 hours. One additional death reported. It brings the total number of cases in the north to 17,110. The number of COVID-related deaths now 587. Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty says the HSE's winter plan is doomed to fail unless issues surrounding capacity in ICU beds are addressed by the government. He says the priority and policy must be changed. The Taoiseach insists he has confidence in the Health Minister as Stephen Donnelly faces questions in the Dáil tonight about his handling of NPHET's Level 5 recommendations. It emerged the Minister was briefed by the Chief Medical Officer ahead of NPHET's meeting on Sunday last. And the Donegal deputy says he's received hundreds of emails from those involved in the arts pleading for help. We're back with headlines at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 8th of October. The death has occurred of Mary Rose Macbeth, née McMenamin, late of 18, Lochmorris Road, Ahiarn, formerly of Carrickmagrath, Ballybuffet. Requiem Mass will be celebrated on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Ahiarn, interment afterwards in St Mary's Churchyard, Sesha O'Neill. In compliance with guidelines, the house, mass and interment are strictly private to immediate family only, please. The death has occurred of Danny Breslin, Glencar Road, Letterkenny, formerly of Blusher Street and Limewood Street, Derry. Danny's remains are reposing at his late residence. In compliance with current government and HSE guidelines, wake, requiem mass and burial are strictly private to immediate family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed from St Union's Cathedral, Letterkenny's online streaming service at 11 o'clock on Saturday by using the link churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Renal Dialysis Unit or Medical 4 Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Liam McIntyre, Waterloo Place, Donegal Town. Liam's remains are reposing at his daughter Elaine and son-in-law Joe McInaw's home at Hillridge Cottage, Drumbale, Mount Charles. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 1 o'clock in St Agatha's Church, Clare, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. In line with government and HSE guidelines, the home and funeral are private to family and close friends only, please. Funeral Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv/camera/St Agatha's Clare Donegal. And the death has occurred of Neil Boyle, the Diamond Dunlow. His remains are reposing at Midland's Funeral Home Dunlow. Removal to St Cronus Church Dunlow this evening for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 11 with interment afterwards in Belcritch Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family only, please.